Chapter 11 is discussing faith, which is believing or trusting in, and in this case, in God, putting our confidence in Him for the things that are hoped for. We don't see them, but we believe that they are going to happen. We trust that they will happen because God's Word says so. And God's Word says we'll be blessed if we do these certain things. And so we trust Him. Look at verse 6. It says, but without faith, if we cannot trust God for the things He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe that God is, don't you? My wife and I today, we read an article online. Peterson Air Force Base out in Colorado, there was a group of protesters were protesting against the base and against the exchange. The military exchange is like a place where you can go and buy clothes and other things that you need. It's a base exchange. It's a base, I don't want to say Myers, but it's something like that. You know, some of them can be large, some smaller. But this particular BX there at Peterson Air Force Base was selling those little candy canes, and the candy canes, they have a little hole in them, and they've tied a note to them that tells about the baby Jesus and gives the gospel story on them. And so these people were complaining that they were, the base was selling these things, and I just thought to myself, oh boy, that's how the world is. Verse 6 says here, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I'm thankful they're selling those things, and maybe somebody bought one of those, and while they're licking on that candy cane, they can read what that little card says, and maybe for the first time, or maybe being reminded by the Lord, or being pricked by the Lord, they'll read that and get convicted over it. I have no problems with that whatsoever. And, you know, that's only one example of many people in this world who do not believe that God is. They actually reject the story of God, thinking somehow that if they don't mention Him or don't think about Him, that He's not there. Isn't that silly? We, as believers, believe in the Lord. The just live by faith. We might not be able to see certain things, promises the Lord has given, blessings that the Lord has given us, but He gives us enough right now to understand that He is real and that He is true and that He loves us. All of these characters here, verse 8, it talks about Abraham, and then it talks about in verse 9, Isaac and Jacob, and through faith also Sarah, in verse 11, herself received a strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She thought it was funny. I mean, you know, I'm 90 some years old. I'm going to have a baby? Well, that's hard to believe. And every woman here tonight would say, yeah, that would really be hard to believe that. And yet God brought it to pass. And Scripture, which edits the Old Testament, the New Testament Scripture here, edits the Old Testament, the story of what happened. And it says here that she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged that God was faithful in what He would do, and He brought it to pass. And so these characters here, each one of them have a story. We talked about those a little bit last time. But I don't think we talked about Isaac. Look at verse 20 with me. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Let me ask the Lord's blessing. Father, I pray that You will bless Your word now to our hearts and to our minds. We've had a little review of the Scripture passage that we've been looking at for a while now, and I just pray that You'll help us to build upon what we know already as we look at these next couple of characters. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so verse 20 starts out, we've got three in a row here. We got Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, but we see Isaac's name here first, and he was born so late in the lives of Abraham and Sarah that they laughed in disbelief. We just found that in the first part of chapter 11 when God promised them a son. And Isaac's name in Hebrew means laughter. Imagine that. And so there's some puns going on there. The whole situation was a humorous type of situation, and yet God was ever so serious. And God knew that and understood that they would probably think that way because they're like us. They're just human people. I don't want to look at this chapter 11 at these people of faith here and think they had something more than we have, because they were just people like us. And they loved the Lord, and they called upon the Lord, and they trusted in the Lord. And, you know, if the Lord told us certain things today, we might say, well, I don't see how that's going to happen. I've never heard of that before. I've never seen that before. I've never thought of that before. How could that happen? But would you believe the Lord if he told you that? That's what we're supposed to do. Well, as a boy, Isaac accomplished his father, accompanied his father to Mount Moriah in obedience to the divine command to Abraham to sacrifice his son. Wow. Abraham was a man of faith. The Lord said, I want you to sacrifice your son. He zipped his mouth and said, yes, sir. He zipped his mouth, didn't tell anybody what he was doing, and started preparing and went to do exactly what the Lord told him to do. We know that Isaac's life was spared when God intervened, and at the last minute, and God provided a ram. And then he goes on, and of course he lives. He didn't have to give his life there, but he accepted Rebekah as his wife under a trusted family servant. Brought her from Abraham's home country to be his bride, and became the father of the twins Esau and Jacob. Think of Isaac here. This is quite the character. His dad, by faith, was going to take his life, and the Lord said, no, don't do that. Well, Isaac saw all of that. He must have later on, and as they talked, said, Dad, what was that all about? He said, God commanded me to do that, and then he provided me a lamb. But I was ready to do what God wanted me to do, son. I hope if it ever comes down to you that you'll do the same thing. Now, what happens here, somebody else goes and finds Isaac a wife, and he accepts her. How many today would do that? You follow? Have you ever heard somebody say, yeah, my mom and my dad want me to marry this person. Well, I ain't going to marry. Who do they think they are? They can't tell me. Boy, you really get a lot of pushback from that, I think. There's some countries where they still do that. It's appointed to them, and there's some unhappy marriages, but I imagine there's also some good marriages. But here, Scripture identifies Isaac as trusting the Lord. And when these challenges came into his life, he stepped out on faith. And he didn't know how it was going to work out. He didn't know or see the way that things were going to go. But he had faith in God and trusted in him that everything would work out okay. It's all going to be all right. He trusted him that well. And it's a pretty good testimony that the man has. He had the twins Esau and Jacob. During a famine, he took his family to Gerar. And Isaac became wealthy during his sojourn with the Philistines, and they became jealous of him. And after a series of incidents over water rights, Isaac and the Philistines reached an understanding. Isaac and his herd stayed at the area of Beersheba, and Isaac in his old age, blind and feeble, was tricked by Jacob into stowing his final blessing on Jacob, the younger son. Boy, his sons were a couple of rascals there, okay? And they fooled their father in this case. And, you know, I kind of, as we went through that story and have gone through that story in times past, you think, well, how could you be duped like that? Well, he was, and it happened. The Bible tells us, so we can't question it. We just have to say, boy, I tell you what, that's quite a story. And instead of Esau getting the blessing, Isaac bestowed it upon Jacob. Now Esau, if you remember, was Isaiah's favorite son. He liked him because he went out and got that venison and brought it back in and cooked it up and gave it to his dad. And so he, you know, was a favorite as a result of that. But the Bible tells us in Genesis, back in somewhere, I think chapter 34 area, somewhere around there. It tells us that he was buried with his parents at Hebron. And so Isaac was a faithful man in his day and in his time. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, he's mentioned in the New Testament after all these years. His character is brought up. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He didn't know what was to come. He heard what was to come by God. And he was passing on what God had said and blessed his sons on things that would come to pass in their personal lives as well. And so it's a real good character testimony here that we have in Isaac. May not be your favorite one of them, but he's mentioned in the halls, if you will, of faith here in chapter 11. And he's worthy of a good read. Now look at verse 21 with me. And we see his son here, Jacob. Now we don't see Esau in there. That twin didn't make it to the hall of faithful here. But Jacob did. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And so there's a, if you will, if you had a camera of this man's life and you could stop his life at a certain point where that faith was showing, click, somebody was watching. God knew about that man's life and what was happening. Click, he took a picture, a couple pictures. These pictures he wants us to see here in chapter 11. He was the younger twin, and known later as Israel. His name was changed, and he was the father of the 12 sons whose families became known as the tribes of Israel. Jacob's name means supplanter, and literally from his birth onward, he tried to supplant his older brother Esau. You just got to love those stories. And as Jacob was doing all these things to Esau, he first took advantage of Esau's hunger and made Esau trade his birthright for a tasty stew. Later, he deceived his aging blind father into granting him the father's final blessing, which Isaac had meant for Esau. Why is he mentioned here in the Hall of Faith? How many of you have ever done something you know you shouldn't have done? How many of us here are sinners saved by the grace of God? Jacob was a sinner. He wasn't a saint. This hall of the faith is for all of us. They're all people just like we are, and they were subject to these kinds of things. And yet God has mentioned their faith here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Esau, of course, was furious at his scheming brother, and Jacob fled for his life. During his flight at Bethel one night, Jacob experienced the vision of God's angels descending on steps to him, his first awareness of God's plan for him. He proceeded to Haran, the ancestral home, and lived with his uncle Laban for 20 years. There Jacob met his match in craftiness, and Laban, we know, is very crafty, and by a series of ruses married off both his daughters, Leah and Rachel, to Jacob, and kept Jacob in servitude longer than they had agreed upon. And so all the tricks that Jacob done to his brother were coming back to him through his uncle, who was a little bit more craftier, if you will, especially with Jacob in his life. And so when he leaves, finally, he runs into his brother who comes to meet him, and Jacob breaks up his family into two different parties, afraid that, well, if this one gets destroyed, this one will get away, and he had all these thoughts. But really, Esau, he held no grudges. And we could say Esau took a higher road that day when he came and just told his brother, he expressed to him that he had no evil thoughts of harming him and what have you. And so, for the first time, Jacob found himself conquered. He refused, however, to let his antagonist go until he received the blessing. Remember who he was conquered by? An angel. He wrestled with that angel all night long. That's not mentioned here in the Hall of Faith. is not mentioned, and there's a purposeful reason for that. Jacob was not only given a blessing, but a new name, Israel, meaning that he was one who had preserved with the Lord. And shortly after, he met his brother Esau and was relieved to find that there wasn't any grudge, as I mentioned. Now, Jacob died in Egypt, but was buried in the family burial cave at Hebron. And so Genesis tells all these stories. We looked here at Isaac, and we look at the faith of Jacob, that he was mentioned here. Why was he mentioned? So many things happened in his life, but why was this picture taken? It says, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. Remember what happened in that scenario? Jacob put his hand on who? The younger. And what did Joseph do? He grabbed his hand and says, no, father, the older, this one's born first. And Jacob puts his hand back on the younger and says, I know my son, Joseph. He'll be blessed too, but I'm going to bless him first. And so that's what's mentioned here in Scripture. And he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I like that because Jacob starting out in life makes us think that perhaps the man really didn't have faith in the Lord. But as we've seen his life unfold and he begins to believe after, you know, he says, you know, truly God is in this place. And he had an awakening, began to change, and in the end he worshiped the Lord leaning upon the top of his staff just prior to his death. The picture was taken, it was sealed, and he was added to the book of faith. It's pretty incredible. I don't know what pictures God has taken of your life and of mine as we live for him, but I'm sure there's some spiritual cameras out there taking pictures. And I just want to ask God to take pictures of me, Lord, when I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. And the Lord is impartial, of course, though. We don't know what he's going to take pictures of. But as long as we're living for him and trying our best, I think we'll be okay. What do you think? I want to give you one of these. Stephen, if you would take one and then run these upstairs. I don't want to wake Shanda up. Hi, Shanda. Now, this little list of suggestions here, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're living by faith every day. God's going to take a picture sometime. He's going to remind us about that. And at times when perhaps when we think life has been the most terrible it could ever possibly be in our personal lives, it's that time when our faith is being tested and God has taken a picture. And someday he's going to say, hey, you come through that. You couldn't see through it, but you come through it. And you trusted me that I was going to bless you and help you and get you through it, and it worked. I've had different lists like these before that I've given out, but tonight, especially since we've been in the faith chapter, I want you to see this. Here's some suggestions for 2020. Faithfully, we ought to pray. Pastor, I do pray. Good. I know you do. The Bible commands us to. I've given you some verses with these, but when I thought about faithfully praying, what that means is if you've got a health issue, if you've got a financial problem, if you've got, there's something wrong with your car or something wrong with your heater or your electricity, you got some problems and you can't see the end of them or how you're going to get those things fixed, pray to God. And do it faithfully. Just trust him. And when the answer comes in, what do? You say, thank you, God. I prayed. It was answered. And I don't care if there seemed to be a delay in everybody else's mind. It wasn't in mine because I was praying about that anyway. And so when we faithfully pray, it means we pray not seeing the result of our prayers, but praying, asking for God's blessings in this particular thing, whatever it is. Maybe you have a loved one you've been praying for regularly that they get saved and come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so you've been praying for them, but you're not seeing the results. Don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Pray faithfully. Without seeing the result, just pray about it and thank God. Secondly, read your Bible faithfully. Well, you know, I know all them stories in there. Do you? Try reading your Bible faithfully. And what Pastor means by that is when you read it, you may not have been there when God parted the Red Sea. But I'll tell you what, you can believe that he could do it again if he wanted to. That's reading your Bible faithfully, believing it all, not trying to discredit it, not trying to say, well, you know, that's, I don't know how that works. And, you know, if you don't know how it works, I don't know how it works, and that's okay. I believe what God says. It's in his word. And read it faithfully. Get yourself on some kind of a schedule. These references in Matthew here, Jesus made several comments about those he dealt with that they erred in their life and in their philosophy and in their thinking because they did not know the scriptures. Our granddaughter sent us, we didn't know what it was, we thought our daughter was sending us a little flowery, little kind of text message, and it had a passage of scripture on there. I'm trying to remember what it was. What was it? Yeah, 2 Timothy, but I forget the address. But it's the one that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And she had it, you know, wrapped around all this flowery thing and said, that's not our daughter. And we kind of talked, so it was probably one of the grandkids. And then a little bit later on, our daughter said, oh, that was Lila, got my phone and just sent that off to us. Not just us. But she went into her contact list, and she hit a whole bunch of people in there. And so she sent that off to everybody. We got a kick out of that. But read your Bible. Don't err because, you know, you didn't read it and apply what it says. Faithfully attend church services. Thankful for everyone who's here tonight. You know, when I'm away, I always attend somewhere else. I make sure that I attend church regularly. Hebrews 10:25, of course, we all should know what that says. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And we want to come and hear the Lord's work and fellowship. So faithfully attending church means even if in your mind you don't see a blessing there, trust God that you can be blessed if you go to church. I've heard all kinds of stories about different people that told me that when they didn't come to a service, well, this happened, that happened, and all these other, I wish I would have been there. Well, you missed a real blessing this time, you know, and I'm not bringing that up. I'm not trying to make deals with anybody. I'm not saying you'll be a rich millionaire if you come to church. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just simply saying the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of one another's. And our regular times are 3 times a week. But come as often as you can. If somebody's sick or on vacation, we all understand that kind of stuff. But faithfully come, not knowing what to expect, but being ready, or not knowing what the blessing is going to be, but being ready to accept whatever is there and whatever the Lord has for us. And then fourth, faithfully serve somewhere in the ministry of the Lord here at the church. Now, somebody could say, and all of us here are servants of the Lord. We've all been serving. And so I'm still going to tell you, though, that when we serve the Lord, we might not see the blessing. I might not see it when you drive the bus. Since I've been driving the bus for some years now, I've heard other preachers say that, well, I was a bus kid. And now, you know, I heard the gospel going to this church because they came and picked me up all the time, and now I'm serving the Lord as a pastor. You know, I've heard several preachers say that, and I was really touched by that. And then I could take that example and apply it into every other missionary or every other mission, every other ministry of the church. Think of the Sunday school. Those kids will make you pull your hair out sometimes, depending on what age they are. And they may think, you may think you're going nuts. You just can't wait to get out of there and go home. But you keep coming back and you keep staying faithful, and God is going to reward you. You may not see it, but faithfully serve him and someday he will bless you. How long was it when Moses, he had to run out of Egypt? He was gone for, he thought about saving his people, and when he killed that one Egyptian, and then he instead had to take off. He was gone for 20 years, 40 years, whatever it was, I forget now. But he still had that idea in his head, and God revisited him and brought him to be the one to lead them out of Egypt. If you don't see it in your mind, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Having faith is trusting in what we don't see, believing in the promises. God says, pray, and I will bless you. God says, read your Bible, and you will be blessed. And I can give you specific passages. I think it's Revelations 1:3, maybe. And then there's some others that say reading God's word blesses you. To me, those are promises. And when we serve him, it's a promise as well that he'll bless us. Give to the Lord's work here at Mancelona Baptist Church. Of course, this means give our time, our talent, and our tithes unto the Lord in our offerings. And then specifically 2 Corinthians 9:7 is for our offerings to the Lord. Number 6, visit people for our Lord's sake. This year here, think about somebody you could visit. And just go and visit them and talk to them about the Lord. Maybe invite them to church. But just make a visit. Even if it's just to go in to pray with somebody who's sick or has been in and out of the hospital, why not just make a visit? Faithfully do that. And don't say to yourself, well, I don't see how that's going to be a blessing. What? Stop thinking like that and say to yourself, I want to do that faithfully, being faithful to God. I just want to go visit. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but if I go there and I pray with this person, maybe read some scripture and try to encourage him, the outcome has to be great, doesn't it? Don't talk yourself out of a blessing. 7, faithfully have a personal time of devotion, a family time of devotion, whatever applies here. And try to have that regularly. Be faithful to do that. God can really bless you when you do this in your own time and when you're by yourself or with your family. And faithfully bring others and guests to church with you. I heard somebody mention that tonight, that we might do that as we prayed. And so that's something to good, faithfully. Bring them with you. Don't say to yourself, well, I don't know what's good. It's going to do it. You know, and I have actually heard people say this before, and they'll say something like this, that, well, I don't want to bring them on a Wednesday night, nothing happening then. Well, I don't want to bring them on that Sunday because there's really nothing happening. I mean, there's no presentation of anything. It's just a regular service. You know, I want to bring them when, you know, it's Christmas and, you know, the big things are happening in the church or, you know, those kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord doesn't work through just this thing or that thing. He's always working. And when we have an opportunity to bring somebody, just do it for that day, whatever it is. Don't let the Lord worry about the rest of it. We just want to bring somebody with us so they can be they can see what's going on in our lives, but also that the Lord might be able to touch them in some special way while they're guests here with us at the church. Number 9, faithfully be a follower. I give some examples here, a follower of peace and a follower of the Lord and those kinds of things. You can read those. And do that, just not just because the Bible says so, but just do it because you want to please the Lord and you don't care about seeing the results of it first. That always reminds me of somebody when we have to have the results. Think of Thomas, you know, the doubting Thomas. He didn't believe in the Lord. And boy, doesn't that get you when you think of faith? His faith just wasn't there. He said, I'll never believe until I can see him and, you know, thrust my hand through his and see, you know, and sure enough, shortly after that, that happened. But the Lord, he scolded them a little bit and said, blessed are those who haven't seen and believe. And so that's the idea of being a faithful follower. Faithfully let your light shine as well. Strive, work to be a good testimony, and share the love of the Lord. In this coming year, if you will stick to these things, maybe use this as a bookmarker for a while and just stick to them and read. Just take one of these and read it at a different time and read the scripture passages associated with it. I think it will help be a blessing to you. Father in heaven, we thank you for this midweek service, this first day of the new year. And Lord, in the light of eternity, it's a small time, but it could be a major time in our lives if we are to faithfully walk with you. Help us, Lord, that we might walk with you in faith in all the trials of life and all the blessings of life that we have. Lord, I pray that you'll take pictures of our lives, and someday you'll be able to show us what was important to you and say those words to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. For we pray in Christ Jesus' name, your blessing now. Amen.